Well, good morning to all of you, and a very warm welcome to our Harvest Thanksgiving celebration service. It's lovely to see the church so full, and a warm welcome back to those of you who have been worshipping during the evening services, and perhaps this is your first Sunday back in the morning. It's lovely to see you as we return to two services from this Sunday onwards that will be different rather than two being exactly the same. So normal service, as they say, has been resumed. To that end, there will also be tea and coffee served after the service is finished. I walked in the door and the first thing I smelt was the smell of ground coffee, which was just wonderful. So you can avail yourself of that at the end of the service. Also, a warm welcome to any who may be visiting us this morning. We're delighted that you're here to worship and to praise God and to celebrate the good things that God gives to us, both not only physically, but also spiritually as well. I have been asked to intimate to you, you will see on the chair on the way outside, on the towards the front door of the church, you will see a chair, and on that chair there are envelopes that are for this year's BMS Harvest Appeal. The theme of that is I Will Stand, and we're going to see a little video clip later on in the service that will be telling us something of the ministry that they are doing with regard to that for this particular year and the reasons why they are looking for support. So if you want to support that, please do take an envelope with you. We will have them available, I think, for the next 2 or 3 weeks so that we can gather as much for that Harvest Appeal for this particular year. Also, there are hopefully printed copies of the intimation sheet for the week. Most of you, I know, get them by email, but for those of you who do not, there are some printed copies available at the doors, I think, and do, again, make sure that you take one before you leave. And those are, I think, all the notices for the week. Let's stand and sing two great harvest songs. One in particular, the first one, we plough the fields and scatter, and then thou art worthy, O Lord, and we stand and we worship God together.
Thank you.
take your seats and let us continue as we worship God, the Lord of the harvest, as we come and pray. Lord Jesus, we come again before you this Sunday morning. This Sunday morning in which, Lord, we look back and celebrate, Lord, your goodness and your grace to us. Over the year that has passed, and Lord, as we look forward in faith to the year that is to come, as we consider, Lord, not just how you have provided for our spiritual needs, but for the needs of our bodies, for our physical needs, our material needs. We come, O living God, to acknowledge, as your word tells us, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That, Lord, all that is in this world, Lord, belongs to you. That, Lord, you are its true and rightful owner. And that, Lord, all that we have, Lord, has only been entrusted to us by you. And that, Lord, only for a short season. We thank you, O living God, for the changing of the times and the seasons. We thank you, Lord, for the times of sowing and planting in faith and hope. And Lord, we thank you now for this harvest season in which we reap, O living God, not just the fruit, Lord, of hard work and of diligence, but Lord, as we reap, Lord, the fullness of your bounty. For Lord, you are the one who causes all things to grow. You are the one who gives all things life. And Lord, in that we rejoice. Lord, you have given us life, and the breath in our body, Lord, has been given to us by you. And so, Lord, we come as that which is the pinnacle of your creativity and the expression, O living God, of your wisdom and brilliance and genius. We come, O living God, to enter into that highest of all human activities for which, Lord, we were created, to worship the living God, to know you. And Lord, we come to thank you, O living God, for that privilege, and to thank you for all that you have given to us, Lord, in this life, that we might praise you and thank you. But Lord, as we do these things, we are deeply mindful, Lord, and conscious of the other parts of your world where, Lord, there are many millions who do not have the basic necessities that, Lord, we have and take for granted. We pray for them this morning, that their needs would be met and provided for materially as well as spiritually. And we pray, Lord, for those agencies and organizations, relief groups and missionary organizations who seek to do precisely that. We pray that you would bless them and prosper them in their work and in their ministry. And Lord, for us this morning, we ask and pray that as we think, Lord, about the needs of our world, as we think, Lord, about what it means to be those who are dependent upon you for our daily food, and as we think, Lord, also of what it means later on to be those who are seeking to grow in Christ, that, Lord, you would speak to us, that we would hear, Lord, afresh from you this morning, you who are the Lord of the harvest and the Lord of our lives. And for all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. At the beginning of the service, I indicated that we were going to have a short little video clip showing us the work of BMS. This is the Harvest Appeal for 2021. As I indicated, it's entitled simply, I Will Stand. And I'm not going to tell you what it's about. I'm going to let you find that out for yourself. But let's watch this little video. It's about 7 or 8 minutes long. And it focuses on what we're going to be giving to this year as part of our BMS Harvest Appeal. Thank you very much. I'll let the technical team push the magic button at the back.
I saw Jesus 2,000 years ago. I was watching a vision. It wasn't like a dream. I was there with them. I saw he had 12 students. I saw him healing people, preaching. I hadn't read the Bible, but I saw it happening. When I woke up from the vision, I went to my neighbor, who I knew was a Christian. I told her my story, and she fell to the ground and couldn't say a word. She gave me a Bible and opened it in Matthew. It was unbelievable. What I read, that is what I had seen. In that moment, something inside me changed. The next 2 weeks were the best 2 weeks of my life. I was in a very hard situation, and my situation did not change, but I changed. My life started from that moment. I didn't tell anyone I was a Christian because I was afraid. 2 years later, I moved countries. I tried every church, but they refused to baptize me. It's an Islamic country. If you change from Islam to Christianity, it really costs lives. I was learning the Bible by myself and searching for 8 years. Then God found me a private teacher. It was a miracle. I learned and I started telling my family. I started with my brother. He accepted Jesus. Then I told my older sister. She accepted Jesus. Most of my family are Christians now. After that, we started this small ministry. We're helping people who are in need. We do work here and in my home country. In my home country, so many people became Christians, like 1,200 people. When the neighbors saw this, they tried to harm these people. But the Christians didn't care, even if it cost them their lives. I don't know exactly what will happen, but I want to serve God.
When my mom found out I was a Christian, she said, "I bore you in my womb, but I wish I didn't." Choosing to follow Christ was not easy. I'm from a Muslim background, and I saw myself on one side and my parents on the other. And I wondered, am I right and they're wrong? I would have rather been wrong and them right. There was no physical violence, but they stopped talking to me. My mom and dad are really dear to me. It was really hard. When my parents stopped talking to me, I was called into full-time ministry. At first, I wanted to have both my family and the truth. But the truth has set me free, and I cannot not speak it. My ministry is on Facebook, which is really effective for reaching people. I remain anonymous, which gives people more freedom to talk. The people I talk with are Muslims. I understand the people who message with questions because I was once there. I want to learn more so I may be ready to answer as many questions as possible. I miss my family a lot. I do long for them, but I just don't want to give up Jesus. The Lord has performed a lot of miracles for me. He takes care of me. He answers my questions. The little details, they all add up. And when I think of them all, I can't but give all I have for Him.
I made a promise that I would not let any Christians live in my area, nor would I let any church nearby survive. I was born into an Orthodox Hindu family. I joined an extremist Hindu group, and my life's main goal was to catch Christians and beat them up. One day, I met a man, and he asked me, "Why are you doing this? Why are you attacking people who have not done anything to you?" And he gave me a New Testament and said, "Why don't you read it?" I started reading the New Testament, and then almost every day I wanted to read that book. I saw how Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and I learned to pray like that. And then one day I read, "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul?" And it hit me. After that, I secretly started meeting with the Christians and learning from them. My village discovered I'd become a Christian, and they tried to throw me out. They separated from me and said, "We will not give you water to drink and we will not associate with you." It's been more than 20 years, and I'm still separated from some of my village, but now, out of 30 families living here, 22 families have come to know Jesus. And I pray that one day it will become an entirely Christian village. I also now oversee 150 small groups in my region. I know that following the Lord is not easy. I've suffered persecution and had terrible things done to me, but in all of that, I have hope. The Lord Jesus came into my life, taking me from persecution to praise. He's everything to me. He is life. I pray that I will be able to complete the vision that God has given me to reach out to as many people as I can.
Friends, some very interesting and very challenging stories for us to think about and to ponder. We're going to stand and sing our next song together. After this, we're going to have a reading from Matthew 13, verses 3 to 9. And Holly is going to read God's word to us. And then we're going to have some harvest-themed prayers for the world. And Tommy and Giovanni are going to lead us in that. So we're going to have some input from our young people, which is wonderful to see them. So I'm just giving them the warning now so they can get themselves down from the balcony in time. There we are. But let's stand and sing our next song together. You shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace. To read God's word now, Matthew chapter 13, reading from verse 3 to verse 9, and Holly's going to come and read scripture, and then we'll be led in prayer.
Today's reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 3 to 9, the parable of the sower. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and he was scattered the seed. Some fell along the path, and birds came up and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on the good soil, where it produced a crop. 160 or 30 times was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear.
Let us pray. Please join in with the response
Lord of harvest, hear our prayers. Creator God, we thank you for the gift that is creation, for the beauty of the earth and how you have created us to care for it. We are sorry for the ways we have neglected this. Help us to work together to repair the world. Generous God, we thank you for the gift of food and how it brings us together and nourishes us. We pray for those without, whose harvests and store cupboards are empty. Help us work together to share the world's resources so that everyone can be fed. Lord of harvest, hear our prayers.
We lift up people around the world who are suffering the effects of the climate crisis. We think of those in Bangladesh, the Philippines, Mozambique and Central America who have recently faced deadly cyclones and floods. We think of those in Burkina Faso, Brazil, Ethiopia and Zimbabwe who are facing prolonged droughts. Lord, it is not fair that those who have done the least to cause this crisis are suffering. Lord, please provide for them, protect them and give them hope for the future. Lord of the harvest, hear our prayer.
All-loving, ever-present God, we pray for our neighbours, for the people we know and love, and for the people we have never met. We pray for our neighbours, for the people across the street, and for the people on the other side of the world. Lord of the harvest, hear our prayer.
Sustaining God, we thank you for the gift of those who farm and prepare our food, for the labour, their innovation and their care. We pray that everybody will be able to work with dignity, that there will be no more poverty. Help us work together to call for just and fair systems of pay and working conditions. All-powerful God, we thank you for the gift that is creation, for the beauty of the earth and how you have created us to care for it. We are sorry for the ways we have neglected this. Help us to work together to repair this world. Lord of harvest, hear our prayers. Amen.
Well, thank you very much to all of you, to Polly, Tom, Tommy and Giovanni. We're very grateful to you for that. We're going to stand again and sing a lovely more modern song. I, the Lord of sea and sky, I've heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. take your seats, friends. And that was lovely just to hear us worshiping God together this morning. I have written down here on my order of service, and I put it in brackets as well. It says, all age talk. So the good news is you're not going to have to sit and listen to me for the next wee while. We're all going to be thinking about God's word together. So we're all going to contribute and answer questions, regardless of how old we are, and that includes the people way up and the gods up there when I can hardly see you. But we're all going to be thinking about what does it mean to be those who are growing in Jesus, and hopefully the first slide will appear in a minute. In harvest time, we think about planting seeds and how they grow with the warmth of the sun, and we get plenty of rain as well. And eventually, the seed begins to pop up through the ground. It begins to produce a leaf, and it gets bigger and bigger, and eventually it begins to produce some fruit. And then we can get the benefit of it. There we go. I've talked long enough. It's now come up. Wonderful. Great. Okay. Growing in Jesus. What do we need? Now, just to give you a little clue, give you an indication of how my mind works or doesn't work, we're going to take each of the words that spell the word growing, and so there's seven of them, if I've counted correctly, and we're going to look at each of the seven things that we need to help us to be those who are growing in Jesus. So we're going to start off with the first letter. It's the letter G. Now, we're going to see how we're going to get on. And I've got something written down here. The first thing that we need, now I'm going to give you a clue. We need to think about this in a logical and linear fashion, okay? So think about what you need to start off with, first of all, before we start to grow in Jesus. The first, I'll give you a bit more of a clue, the first step we need to take. So who thinks they know the answer? You can shout out or stick up your hand. It's all casual this morning, okay? So who thinks they've got an answer? Deafening silence. This is not going well. What do we think? Yep, I see Carol's got her hand up. God. Yes, but yeah, God certainly comes into it, but we have to do something with God. Right. Yeah, another good answer?
Ground.
No, grain and ground. They're good answers, but they're not right. They were better. I'm going to give you the first word we need to give. Who said that? Well done, that man. That's right. Very good. We need to give our lives to Jesus. That's the first thing that has to happen. Now, that means that we recognize that we're not living the way that we're meant to live, because we're trying to do things ourselves and we're pretending that God doesn't exist, and we're just living for ourselves. We're being selfish and we're not living for God. And we've come to that point where we realize actually the way that we're living is not good. And the Bible calls that sin. And that saddens God, because we are living without him in our lives. And therefore we've come to that point where we realize that actually, if we're really going to live the life God's made us to live, that we've been looking at over these last few Sundays, we need to do something really radical and something really important. And that means that we need to give our lives to Jesus. So that's the first thing that we do. And we give our lives to Jesus by simply saying, Lord, I'm sorry for the things in my life that I have done that I know I shouldn't, because we all know we've done bad things. And we say sorry to Jesus for the bad things that we've done. And we ask him to forgive us. And we remember that he died on the cross for our sin. And we ask that the blood that he shed on that cross for us all those years ago, that he would cleanse us from our sin with his blood. And then we do something else. We ask him to come into our lives and to live in our lives by the Holy Spirit. And God's word tells us that if we ask Jesus to come into our life, he will come into our life that very moment when we ask him to do that. And I hope that all of us this morning have done that, no matter how old or how young we may or may not be. So we have to, first of all, give our lives to Jesus. That's how the journey starts. That's how we begin to grow in our life in Jesus. We need to give our lives to him and let him be in control and let him take charge of our lives. So we're getting on pretty well. We've got the first of our things we need to look at. So we give our lives to Jesus. Let's turn to the next letter. This is maybe a little bit more tricky. It's the letter R. What do we think that stands for? Repentance is a very good answer, Evelyn. We've kind of covered that, but that's a good answer. But we do need to repent. But it's something that we should be doing on a daily basis. Do you have your hand up? Another good answer, yes, but not quite what I'm looking for. But we're sneaking up on the answer, I think. Something that we should be doing every day. You think, read the Bible, we're going to come on to that in a minute or two. Something that you do like that. Come on, give me a big clue. Thank you. We need to relate to God in prayer. That's a bit tricky, okay, my corkscrew mind. Okay, there we go. It's a bit forced, I accept that. There we go. We need to relate to God in prayers, but we're absolutely right. We need to pray. And we can pray to God about anything, in any place, and any time, and in any situation. You don't just have to wait until Sunday to pray. I know people that they like to pray when they're washing the dishes or they're doing their ironing. I know people that used to pray when they were walking to school. And I knew a lot of people who used to pray before they were doing an exam. And I was one of them, and I bet you were too. And we can pray to God about anything. You know, there's nothing that God is not interested in hearing. You might think, well, why should I pray to God about that? That's far too small. God isn't bothered. Let me tell you, friends, God is bothered about every aspect of your life, from the very big things right down to the very small things. So we're able to pray to God about anything, anytime, any place, and God loves to hear the prayers of his children. And God's word tells us that. But there's something else we need to do when we pray. And when we pray, it's good that we also, when we've prayed, that we stop. And we let God speak to us. We let God talk back to us. And that's why I put the word relate in there. Because it's meant to be a two-way conversation. And I'm sure we've all done it. I have. You've done it too. That when we pray, it's a bit like we get our shopping list out. We say, well, Lord, can you help me with this, 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 and this? And we've got a whole big list of things we want to pray to God about. And that's fine. But it's also good that we sometimes stop. And when we're finished praying what we want to pray about, we let God speak back to us. Because God wants to speak to us. And he wants us to hear his voice as much as he wants to hear our voice as we come to God in prayer. So we need to be those who relate to God in prayer. And that's the second thing we need to help us as those who are growing in Jesus. Right, we come to the letter O. This might be a bit easier, but then it might not be. We'll see how we get on with the letter O. What do we think that might be?
Offer ourselves in service.
Very good. That's coming later, Kerrigan, but that's the powers of anticipation. Great. Very good. Obey. That's also coming later. Yes?
Obey.
Another good answer, Audrey, but it's not what I'm looking for here. Any other thoughts? We're getting really, the answers are coming thick and fast. Any more suggestions? I'll give you a clue. We don't do it by ourselves. We need...
others.
Yes, very good. Thank you. That's it. We'll punch it up there. We need others to help us. You know, there are some parts of the world, and we heard a little bit about that in our video this morning, where sometimes Christians have to be Christians by themselves because there's no other Christians for miles around. And that must be quite difficult because they want to speak to other Christians who know Jesus and love Jesus like them, but they don't have the opportunity often to do that. But we do. And God's word tells us that we need to meet together Sunday by Sunday on a regular basis with other people who, like us, have come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And friend, we're not meant to be Christians by ourselves. We need other people to help us. And it's great that we're all back in church for the sort of first time fully in that normal way this particular Harvest Sunday. We've all, I think, been very bored and fed up with being on Zoom all the time. I'm sure you have been, and I have been as well. And it's nice to see people in person. We need other people around us. We need other Christians around us to help us grow in our walk with the Lord Jesus. And that's wonderful that we can come to church to do that. And we can meet other Christians. Perhaps they're a lot older than we are. They've been Christians a lot longer than we have. And they can tell us how they learnt to follow Jesus. And they can pass on some of the things that they have learnt to those of us who are younger and younger in the faith. And we have a word that we use to describe when we come together as Christians, and it's the word fellowship. And that means that we're bound together by the love that we have for each other and the love that we have for Jesus. And we know that when we come into church on a Sunday, this is the family of God. And the amazing thing is, friends, although we all look different, the amazing thing is this, we are all related to each other. Now, how does that grab you? Because it's true. We're all different. We've all got different earthly families. We've all got our own unique DNA. Scientists tell us that. But we're all related together. Because if we know Jesus, he is our Lord and our Savior. We all have the one Heavenly Father. And therefore, we are all brothers and sisters. And that means, friends, that we can love one another and we can help one another as well. This is the family of God. And God's put us in this family that we can help and love one another as well as tell the good news about Jesus to everyone else. So we need other people to help us. We cannot be alone. As Christians, we need other people to help us. So that's the letter O. Let's move on to W. Now, this has been mentioned already. What does W stand for? Every hand should be up. This is dead easy. Yes, Tommy, you think you know. Worship God is a good answer, but it's not quite what I'm looking for. Close. Anne had her hand up as well. Okay, right. We'll try again.
Witness.
Thank you very much, Angela. Good for you. That's what I'm looking for. The Word of God. And that's why we come to church every Sunday and we listen to God's Word, whether it's in gig or Sunday club or whether it's here in the main church. We come to hear from God's Word. The Bible is an amazing book. It's got 66 books. It was written over 1600 years and it was written by over 40 different authors. Now, that is amazing just to think about that. And God inspired all these different people to write all these books of the Bible at different times, and they all fit together, and they all tell us about God's love for us, God's love for the world, and how he has provided for us in Jesus, whom he sent to die to save us. And as we read the Word of God, it tells us lots of amazing things. It tells us how to live in a way that pleases God. It tells us things to avoid that aren't going to be good for us. It tells us about things that are good and are positive and are going to help us to live a full life. It tells us how to know Jesus as our Savior and our friend. It tells us how to tell other people about Jesus as well. It's actually got some rather funny stories in it as well. It tells us about how God took very ordinary people just like you and just like me, and he used them to do amazing things in their day, just as God can take and use ordinary people like you and me to do amazing things as well. So God's Word is amazing. And as we read more about God's Word, we learn more about God and what God wants for us. And that's why we read the Bible when we come to church Sunday by Sunday. But it's also important we read it at home as well. However we do it, that we read the Bible day by day, even if it's just a little bit, because it tells us more and more about God and how we can live for him. And when God's Word is deep within our lives and within our hearts, we know how we can live in a way that pleases God and how we can live that good life, that full life that God wants us to know. So that's the Word of God. Very important that we do that and we read God's Word on a regular day by day basis. So that's W. Let's move to the word I. Now, for a clue, Kerrigan mentioned this word about 5 minutes ago for those who were listening carefully and could hear. Now, what did he say? Who can remember before I ask him to repeat it? If he can remember what he said. I something, okay? Well, I'm going to ask Kerrigan if he can remember what he said.
Well, I said, offer ourselves in service.
Service was what looking for, but yeah. It's kind of, there you go, that's it, that'll do. Involves serving, okay? So we were basically there. God wants us to serve. You know, one of the saddest things is that we just come to church and we go, that's great, I love church, I enjoyed it, but I'm not going to do anything. Because, you know, God has made us all with unique gifts and abilities. And you know something? There are things, as I'm looking around this morning, there are things that you can do that I can't do. And there are things that I can do that you can't. And you know, that's fine. And the reason it's fine is because that's the way God has made it to be. Every one of us have got gifts that God has given to us. And you know, friends, if God gives us gifts and he gives us abilities, he doesn't give them to us so we can keep them to ourselves. He gives them to us that we can serve other people. And if we're going to grow in our Christian life, we need to be those who are willing to serve. Not because we've got to do it, or even because somebody asks. We want to serve because we have the love of Jesus in our hearts. Because he loves us so much, we want to show our love to him. And one of the ways we can do that is by seeking to serve others in Jesus' name. It might be perhaps at home. It might be in our place of work. It might be maybe voluntary work that we're doing. We've got food that's going to go to the food bank. Maybe some of us are involved in serving there. And it can also be involved in serving and doing important things in the church as well. And there are many opportunities within the church at the moment for people to take up that opportunity. And the amazing thing is this. When we start to serve, we actually start to grow. And take it from me, that's what happens. As you serve Jesus, God blesses you. And he gives you the ability to keep on serving as he keeps on blessing you. As you keep serving him. So if we're going to grow in the Christian life, that does involve us serving other people. And using the gifts that God has given to us. God's word tells us that God has provided in advance for us to do good works that he's planned and prepared for in advance. That is amazing. And there are things that God has planned for you and you alone to do. Maybe you're the only person that can do it. And God says, I'm putting you there in order that you might be able to serve. So let's ask God this morning. Here's my challenge for the week. Ask God, if you haven't already, to show you the areas he wants you to serve in. And to ask him to show you the gifts that you've got and to ask him where you could use those gifts. It might be here in church, it might be somewhere else. But if we're going to grow in our walk with Jesus, it involves serving, and that is part of it. So that's the letter I. Let's come to the second last letter. This is the letter N. And this is also really important. If we're going to be those who are growing in Jesus, we need to do this day by day. And it is for any suggestions. I'll give you a clue. It's a negative thing to do, but it's positive in its outcome. I mean, maybe that's a little bit out there. We'll see. What do we think? The word I've got is a very short word. Yes. No. Yep, that's a good answer. Not looking for though, but it's a very good. So it's a short two-letter word. Big clue. No. Yes, that's it. We have to say no to what? Yes, very good. We have to say no to sin. And let's be honest, folks, sometimes that's hard because Satan makes sin attractive, and we know that. But we have to say no to sin. And God's word tells us that if he lives within us and we are his children, by his spirit, he gives us the ability to say no to sin and yes to righteousness, which is basically a long word that says we say no to doing the things we know that are bad, and we say yes to doing the good things that we know God wants us to do. And we have to ask him to give us the help and the strength to do that. And there are times when we have to say no to things that are bad. And it can be anywhere, at any time. And it's not just for the big people, it's for the younger people as well. We all see things and we think, that's not right. But maybe I could do it. But if we're seeking to please Jesus and grow, we need to say no. No to the bad things and yes to the things that we know are good for us. And that brings us to the last letter, the letter G. What do we think that might be? Yes, Tommy, I think you know. Well, you've actually got really, really close. Really close. The first word is, it does talk about, I've got written here, about going. But what are we going to do? Tommy's given us a bit of the answer. Yes. Giving God the glory. Yes. Going to give God the glory is a good answer. Again, no, I'm looking for. I'm thinking about Outreach.
Go and tell.
Yeah, thanks, Kerrigan. That's it. We go and we tell others. Here's the thing, friends. We have the most wonderful message in the world. And if you've got really good news, you don't keep it to yourself, do you? No. You want to go and tell as many people the good news that you've got. And it's the same for us and Jesus as well. We've got this great, wonderful, good news of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God calls us to go and tell others. Jesus says that before he goes back to heaven to his disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations. Go and tell everybody, everywhere, about the love of Jesus that he has and the good news that we can be friends of God. And you know, that message still holds good. That command Jesus gave his disciples still holds good today for you and for me as we sit in church this moment in time. That when we go out of church and we go into a new week, that God gives us the opportunity and he calls us to go and tell others. And you can go to places that I can't go and vice versa. And you might be God's man, God's woman, God's young person in that place. And you've got this wonderful good news and he wants you to go and tell others around about you about the new life that Jesus can offer to all who put their faith and their trust in him. We need to go and tell other people. And that, friends, is how we grow in Jesus. So we'll recap. We give our lives to Jesus. I hope you've done that this morning. We need to relate to God as we come before him in prayer. We need other people, other Christians around about us to help us. We need to read God's word to help us to grow. Let's get involved in serving as God would lead us and guide us. We say no to sin when it comes before us and we go and tell others. And if we do these things, we will grow like the little sunflower in the picture and we will grow and become the Christians that God wants us to be, that will be a blessing to us and will bring glory to him. So there we have what it means to be growing in Jesus. And I pray that for all of us this morning on this Harvest Sunday, we will commit ourselves again, or if need be for the first time, that we're going to be those who want to grow and go forward in Jesus, taking him as our Savior and our friend. We're going to stand and sing our last song together, and if you can remain behind to have tea and coffee, you're very welcome to do that. And we thank you for those who've done that, and also to Chris James for the nice harvest display that we see at the side of the church there as well. But let's stand and sing our last song together. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you and turn his face towards you and grant you now his peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.